Here. So I want to say good morning, and it's time to begin our hymn sing this morning. So if you have a hymn that you would like Diane to play for us so that we can sing verse 1 and 2, I think Dina has her hand up.
377,
verses 1 and 3.
377. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Third verse. My sin know the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Beautiful. Great. Yes. 338. 1 and 4. 338, 1 and 4. Thank you, Pastor.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. And go with me, all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way.
Okay. Thank you, Alita. 140, great is thy faithfulness. 1 in 3.
That's a really good one. Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, the forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
We have time for at least one more.
Maybe one more. Okay.
Spirit song?
349.
Okay.
349. Don't expect me to remember everything. Oh, 347. 347. Yes. I was close. So, first and second, we only have two verses. Let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have the things that hold you and His Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your limbs. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and feel your hands. Oh, come and sing this song with gladness, as your hearts are filled with joy. Put your hand in sweet surrender to His name. Oh, give Him all your tears and sadness, him all your years of pain, and you'll end. Oh, Jesus, come and feed us.
Thank you, Diane. That's beautiful. Good morning. Welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. It's been a crisp morning. I hope all of you felt the warmth once you came into the church from the chill that we had outside. So I wish you all a wonderful Sunday. Our announcements. First of all, I'd like to encourage all of you to sign in to the red pad at the end of the aisle so that we can know who's been here today, okay? And if you're a visitor, please make sure you provide information so that we can reach out to you. Okay. Man, it's January, and it's the end of January, or almost the end of January, so I'm assuming we've had our happy birthday rendition of happy birthday, but to everyone that's listed here, to those that are not with us today, we wish you a very, very happy birthday, and that the rest of the month, which is about a week away, will be filled with sweet moments and delightful surprises. The newsletter is in the Narthex, so please feel free to pick up the friendly visitor. If you would like to have that emailed to you, you can make sure that you contact Linda in the office, and she will make sure that you are part of that system, or you can pick one up there. Join us today at 11 o'clock in the Camellia Room, Season 3 of The Chosen. And the pastor's lunch, next pastor's lunch, is February 11th at noon at Legend China 8 in Calamasa. Price is $15, and there is a sign-up or a sign-in in the fellowship hall. 2025 financial statements are available in the back of the church. Deb has done a wonderful job of handing them out today. So if you did not receive yours before service started, please make sure you check in the back so you can pick that up. Thank everyone for their contributions to the church. Now, if you will stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship. Lord, lead me, Lord, lead me in thy righteousness. Make thy way plain before my face. For it is thou, Lord, thou, Lord only, that makest me dwell in safety. Teach me, Lord, teach me truly how to live, that I may come to know thee. And in thy presence serve thee with gladness and sing songs of praise to thy glory. And if you would join us in 724, 1 through 3, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand.
Stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan, fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Of all those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters nigh away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. No chilling wind or poisonous breath can reach that hellful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and feared no more. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Now it's time for passing of the peace. Please feel free to reach out to each other.
Probably about 2 weeks. All right, folks.
Okay, I think we're ready to start with our joys and concerns. Deb is walking forward with the microphone.
Yeah, before we begin, I'm thinking that we have something extra special.
Okay.
So, you know, why don't you come up here?
Would you like a microphone?
Alita, she has spent a lot of time in reflection and prayer and decided to launch Quilt Ministry formally. And we have already seen her making quilts and for people actually that who really needed our prayer support. And I personally have seen how meaningful the quilt have been. So today, Alita has made special prayer quilt for Bill, and she's going to share.
Good morning, everyone. I don't know any of you, me in particular, who don't think of Bill and April and can't smile. It's virtually impossible for me. So, in my opinion, Bill and April spread sunshine like a bee spreads pollen. And so you'll see the double entendre when you sign the card and say a prayer and tie a knot in the quilt. Bill and April, your belief in God is strong, and God is constantly working in your lives, through good times and in bad. Please know all of us at the church are thinking of you and pray for Bill's continued healing and April's steadfast strength. So let us pray. May this prayer quilt made for you with love be a mantle and sign of God's healing presence. May it warm you when you are weary. May it surround you with ease in your suffering. May it circle you with caring. When you are in pain, may it comfort you when you feel alone. May it remind you of God's abiding love. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Alita, don't forget to share. You have given this quilt a special name.
I call it I Believe. So please don't forget to sign.
And there are a lot of bees. That's why she said, I believe. Oh, okay, great.
And Alita, are you going to ask people to tie the knots, or?
Yes.
Tie a knot and say a prayer. It will be on display out there. And I will tell you that I have two of these beautiful quilts from a former day of the quilt ministry, and they have been very comforting. They were comforting when my husband received his, and they were it was very comforting when I received mine. So, and they still comfort me. So what a blessing that the ministry is back. And I have fabric for you, too, that I will share. So I don't sew, but, well, I sew, but not quilt. So, okay, now is the time to share our prayers. I'm real quickly going to ask for prayers for the Heron family, the Wilson family, the Lamprax, the McMullins, and I forget, the Anglin family. They've all lost family members in the last couple of weeks, and it's been pretty devastating for everybody. So if you can keep them in your prayers and lift those that have lost family members and those people that have passed recently. Thank you.
Mm. Before we go into further sharing our joys and concerns, let's recognize our delighted faces on Zoom. Good morning to you, Helen. So glad to see you as usual, and good morning to you, June. By the way, Joyce Memorial at Golden Oaks will be held this Thursday at 4 o'clock, just for the resident, and then her memorial at our church will be held in March. And welcome you, Kenny, all the way from Georgia, and welcome to the one on iPad. We appreciate having you always. And welcome to Bill and April. Chris, how come the screens are getting smaller? We have Carol and Pistoli. Let's pray for Carol and Mike. And also Brian and Jeanine, welcome. And David from Hammett, welcome you. And Alicia and Destiny, welcome.
April, I'll get back to you at the end, okay? Hang in there. I want to start out by saying Pat Shores called me this morning and she wants to reassure everybody that she's not dead somewhere. She's just feeling a little under the weather, so don't worry about Pat, but pray for her continued healing.
Good morning. Lorraine is very, very, very weak. She would be here if she could. It tears me up because this is where she needs to be. She's got a wheelchair now, so that's how she gets around. But there is a glimmer of hope, and as long as there's a glimmer, I'm okay. A couple of weeks ago, I think this coming Monday, tomorrow, we finally got to go to the oncologist. We had to go to Upland, but we got there. Her daughter went with her and I, and I must say that in the intervening time before that, we were not very think that the much was going to happen, because everybody that looked at her says, well, you make her comfortable. Well, we got in to see this. It was an oncology center, and there was, I think there was five or six oncology doctors. And the doctor that we got, turned out he was the head doctor. He's from the Middle East, and he's very hard to understand. Dr. Hashimi or something like that, Hashimi. And so we got in there, and he'd never seen her before, and he didn't even have her paperwork. So we had all the paperwork, and we had everything from Eisenhower Hospital, I'm talking stacks of paper, Redlands Community Hospital, and Loma Linda. And he says, if you don't mind, I'll take this to my office because I don't want to write on your copies. Well, he was gone for quite a while. While he was gone, a patient came in who was supposed to come in next week, and he was talking to the nurse's station, which was right next to us, and we could hear the conversation. And he said he has to go out of town next week. He can't make his appointment. Could he get squeezed in today? And she said, there's absolutely no, we're overflowing today. We can squeeze you in with one of the other doctors. He says, oh no, I won't see anybody except Dr. Hashimi. So that made us feel good. So he came back and he went over everything. And what he told us, basically, he is not going to put any poison in her system at all. He's not going to try to kill the cancer. He says they have been doing work there at their facility, especially him, with immune therapy, getting your own body to kill the cancer. So he ordered a bunch of high-end blood tests because they want to tailor what they're going to put in her body exactly to her, what her system is. And he said that you have to stick with, there's so much in my head. he said that he wants to get her started as soon as possible. And so this was another good sign. He said, we have another facility in Chino. He says, we do most of our infusions here, but we do have a facility there. And I was looking at the schedules, and if we send you to Chino for the first treatment, that will get you in 15 days sooner. So he says, yeah, let's go to Chino. But he said, after that, you'll always come to Upland here. Okay. And he said something that made us, when we walked out of that office to go to the car, we all had a small smile on our face. He said, I don't want to get your hopes up, but he says, we have had some absolute miracles here. People that should never, you know, that people that had been said, take care of your last wishes and just try to rest as much as possible. He says, no, we're going to fight this, and I have a real good feeling about this patient here. So, hallelujah, hallelujah. So that's my good thought for the day, and I'm going to get her here one way or the other because she needs to be here. She wants to be here, but the slightest bit of activity, even just driving her someplace, you know, where I have to go do something and she wait in the car. So, but she knows we get calls and everything. She knows how people are playing for her here, and don't stop now. Lay it on thick. Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Ron.
Hi, Judith Thompson here. About a year ago, and it's been a year, my best friend's sister-in-law fell and ended up with, she actually fell twice, and ended up with a horrendous concussion and various physical problems, cognitive problems. She is still in a facility, but she's doing so much better, and I'm sure a lot of that is due to the prayers from this congregation. When she has a setback physically, she also has a little bit of a cognitive setback, but she continues her therapies and she comes back. She participates in the activities in the facility where she's living now. My friend and her sons visit as often as they can, and she is doing way, way better, and I appreciate your prayers. And I wanted to say to Ron, if getting her here means wearing a mask, I'm wearing a mask. No problem.
I want to welcome my Aunt Beverly Davies, who's here visiting from Lancaster, New York, outside of Buffalo. And I also want to ask for your prayers for travel for her, which might be tomorrow or might be delayed, which is okay with me, because then you can stay a little longer. But there's so much snow and ice on the East Coast, so depending on where her planes fly through, we may or may not make it. But please welcome my Aunt Bev. Well, and we want to also welcome the pastor's son, Jonathan, back here, because we always have to, you know, embarrass you a little when you're here, because we love you. Anyone else in the sanctuary? Oh, wait, sorry, Becky.
I would ask for prayers for my sister, Dottie. She lives in Northern Virginia. She went to the mailbox and fell and broke her wrist. And she's in a good bit of pain, but we're glad it just wasn't any worse than that. And I would also ask for prayers for my precious home state of Minnesota, which is in utter chaos. And we just need all the prayers we can get over that whole issue.
All right, April, did you still want to say something?
Hi, everyone. There aren't words to say thank you enough for this beautiful quilt. Alita, Trudy, Quilt Ministry, Church, Pastor, Debbie, all our beautiful friends at that church. Thank you for holding us together with your prayers. We love you all.
We love you both too, April. Anyone else on Zoom? Kenny, unmute.
Hello, everyone. I really miss you all.
We miss you too.
I wanted to ask if somebody there would sign my name to that card for April and Bill.
Got it.
I'm giving you my permission. Okay. I won't bring legal action. but I wanted to keep my friend Elizabeth Alada in prayer. She was a head nurse for Hospice of Key West, visiting nurses for many years. And now she has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. They're giving her maybe a year with treatment to live. So, you know, she's on the receiving end. She's in San Diego for now. She's got 3 of her 4 children in San Diego. Youngest daughter's a ICU nurse there, but I guess she's going to stay in San Diego for this, but to keep her in your prayers. Her name is Elizabeth Alada.
Thanks, Kenny. Anyone else?
Join me in the unison prayer as printed in the bulletin or on the screens. Dear Lord Jesus, we see only what lies before us, our vision bound by nearsighted hearts. We choose our steps by what is familiar and near. Though we follow you, we will still cling to fragments of our loins. Lift our eyes to behold the fullness of your guidance, that we may trust what we cannot yet see. Teach us that your path is surer than our own, that we may walk wholeheartedly forever where you lead. For your name's sake, amen.
Amen. As we remember all the prayer requests that's been brought to our attention, and remember the people in our life circle and their situation, let us continue our prayers in silence and talk to God. Dear Lord Jesus, as we look at our world today, we see a lot of troubles and without peace. We see people in most part of our nation that are affected by this cold wave. And we see troubles not only in our nation, but all different parts of the world. We see our loved ones with various issues. Many of them are dealing with the health issues. But, O Lord, may we proclaim your presence. May we claim your power upon our lives, upon the life of our loved ones. We claim your power. We may feel hopeless and powerless, but oh Lord, we draw strength from your presence, not from our own, for we are always weak and fragile, but we can draw strength from you, oh Lord, for you are our powerful God, for you are our healer, and from you, oh Lord, we can draw strength and courage to face all the problems, and with that very strength from you, we can fight on. So we ask you to empower us once more through your Holy Spirit. We need you, O Lord. We need your help, your healing touch. So we open our hearts unto you and invite you and your Holy Spirit to come in and touch us like no one can. and let us know you are there for us and with us. And with you in our life, O Lord, there's nothing that is impossible, and everything becomes possible with you. So give us hope. We may see troubles before our eyes today, but we still have a hope for the future, for tomorrow. So help us to hold on to you no matter what, that we may experience miracles on our way, that we may see dark clouds disappear before our own eyes. For we still hear your voice telling us that you love us, that you will take good care of us as you have always have done it. So into your mighty hand we commit ourselves and commit our loved ones and all the matters of this church, of this community, of this nation, and of this world into your hand. So Lord, continue to fulfill your good and wonderful will in our lives, as you are our sovereign God. We know, for we have experienced it over and over, that you have sustained our life unto this day, and you will continue to do so until the very last breath. So as we commit ourselves into your care, we now join our prayers together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now it's time for the young at heart.
Today's story is Harold Loves His Woolly Hat. Written by Vern Kuski. Harold loves to wear his woolly hat, even in the summertime. He wears it when he goes to school. He wears it when he goes to sleep. Harold even wears his woolly hat when he takes his monthly bath. When Harold wears his woolly hat, he knows he is a special bear, different from all the other bears. Then one day, a crow swoops down and steals Harold's woolly hat. "Now I look just like all the other bears," thinks Harold. "How will anyone know that I am a very special bear?" Harold has to win back his woolly hat. He gathers up some wriggly worms and says to the crow, "Let's trade." The crow swoops down and takes the worms and flies them to its nest. "Now please give me back my woolly hat," shouts Harold. But the crow only replies, "Caw-caw, caw-caw." So Harold tries to make another trade. "Here are some tasty blueberries for you." The crow swoops down and takes the berries and flies them to its nest. "Now please give me back my woolly hat." Again, the crow just replies, "Caw-caw, caw-caw." "What a greedy little crow," growls Harold. "I'll never win back my woolly hat." Then he remembers his secret collection of shiny things. Here you go, mean old crow. I've got the perfect trade for you. The crow swoops down and takes the things and flies them to its nest.
Now will you give me back my woolly hat?
Once more, the crow only replies, "Caw-caw, caw-caw." There's just one thing left for Harold to do. He hides behind a rock and waits until the crow flies away. Then he sneaks over to the tree, climbs up, up, up to the tippity top, and sees 3 baby crows. Harold tucks the crows in tight and then quietly climbs down from the nest. Even without my woolly hat, he whispers, I am still a very special bear. A helpful bear named Harold. The end. It is not our stuff that defines us, or our clothes, or our cars, or anything like that. It's our kindness and how we love. So may we love well. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deb. Our next hymn is Higher Ground. There's an insert, and it's verses 1-3.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I am onward bound. Lord, plant my feet in higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plan than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's dart at me a hurl. For faith has caught the joyful psalm, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up that I may stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Today's scripture reading comes from Luke 9, 51-62. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for his arrival. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, Follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as you go, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for this kingdom of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning to you all.
Morning.
So glad to see you in this warm sanctuary. When I came to the church in the morning, it read the temperature out there. This corner is the coldest part of the church campus. It read 44. But it's a warm and cozy in here. I pray that we will have a special moment encountering God through His Holy Spirit as we worship this morning and receive the messages that we need to hear and receive the strength that we need to receive and the grace that we all are in need of receiving. A boy could hardly wait to start driving when he turned 16. On his birthday, he eagerly approached his father and said, "Dad, I'm 16 now. When I get my license, can I drive your car?" His father replied, "Son, driving takes a lot of responsibility, which you will have to learn. First, you need to bring up your grade. They are not acceptable. Second, you must read the Bible every day. And finally, you need to get that haircut. It looks awful." The boy got to work, focusing especially on the first two, which required time and effort. When report card came out, he proudly showed them to his father. "Look, Dad, mostly A's and a few B's. Now, can I drive your car?" "Very good," his father said. "That's one requirement met. Have you been reading the Bible?" "Yes, Dad, every day before and after homework." "Excellent. That's two out of three. But I notice you haven't met the last condition. What are you planning to do about that hair?" Thinking he'd found the loophole, the boy replied, "Well, Dad, Jesus had long hair." His father nodded and said, "That's right, son. And Jesus walked everywhere he went." What requires us to follow Jesus? It takes more than growing hair and walking. That would be a piece of cake, in fact. Following Jesus demands dedication, commitment, and lifestyle changes that reshape relationship. Many Christians are confused about this relational shift, as serving people is often regarded the same as serving God. In the gospel, a couple of followers did not anticipate that realignment of a human relationship when choosing to follow Christ. For example, one individual wished to say goodbye to the family, not realizing the extent of change ahead. His family was equally important to him as Jesus, but Jesus told him that proclaiming the kingdom of God takes precedence over his family relationship. These contrasting perspectives highlight the wisdom in moving forward with God's will rather than dwelling on past ties. The gospel lesson offers a lot of wisdom to avoid unnecessary conflict with God. You know, we sometimes experience that conflict with God. And accept God's direction. Let's delve into the gospel lesson. verse 51 through 53 have expressions to help us understand Jesus' determination. Let me read them again. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of Samaritans to prepare for his arrival, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. Note the phrases related to Jesus' face in these verses. What does Jesus' face set to go to Jerusalem mean? NIV translated as Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And King James Version says, Jesus steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. As translated in both versions, the expression shows how unwavering Jesus' attitude was. He was firm about going to Jerusalem, and nothing could deter him. Verse 52 says, he sent messengers ahead of him. In the translation we read, the original Greek text says, he sent messengers before his face. Isn't that interesting? That is, his unwavering attitude on his face caused him to send messengers before him. And verse 53, the Samaritans did not welcome Jesus because his face was set toward Jerusalem. As I explained before, Samaritans did not like Jews. Plus, they could tell from Jesus' face the direction of his face, direction where he was aiming to, and the determination to go to Jerusalem. Samaritans did not like Jesus, for he was a Jew. And his face was even more hated. Despite the unwelcoming atmosphere, Jesus' resolve did not change. And all these expressions had to do with where Jesus' face was facing. He looked what lay ahead directly. Considering the expressions on Jesus' face, now read the following lesson on the course of following Jesus. Let me just point out that three potential followers of Jesus were presented in the gospel lesson. The first one said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied to him that foxes and birds have homes, but Jesus did not. The first would-be followers expressed his commitment to following Jesus, but appeared to lack an understanding of the harsh condition of ministry. Jesus invited the second, but his answer was, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. The third one wanted to follow Jesus, but with a similar concern. Only after saying farewell to his family would he follow. To the second and third men, fulfilling their duty to their families was their priority. This is totally understandable from a human perspective. The Ten Commandments even say that the children are obligated to honor their parents. But according to Jesus, our human relationships are rearranged after committing ourselves to following Jesus. Take me as an example of this. It used to be, though times have changed, that the elder son was to take care of the parents in Korea. I am the elder son, but because of my calling into ministry, I could not take care of my parents, which they totally understood. They took care of me in Boston when I needed their help desperately. Jesus said to the third one, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." From the time of Jesus until today, people have used oxen or donkeys for plowing. To make a straight furrow, farmers need to aim and direct the animals in the desired direction. It is a universal truth that looking back is just not an option from a practical perspective of plowing. This illustration contrasts Jesus with those who are called. Jesus' determination was so firm, and his face was fixed on what lay ahead, but those would-be followers had a different attitude and approach to look back, which could easily disqualify them. So what does looking back mean? It means unfocused and distracted. Any committed followers shift their focus from worldly things to the divine things, to the calling from above, to the work of ministry. God should be the focus, not on the periphery. But we allow distractions that take our eyes away from God. As the farmer who looks back cannot plow in a straight line, any distraction can only hamper our faith in progress. Looking back also means divided loyalty. Those with this attitude are partially committed to the Lord instead of putting God to serve first. Those with divided loyalty try to embrace both God and the world. Choosing both is impractical, as the farmer cannot plow effectively while looking back. They are neither good at serving God nor entertaining the world. The gospel does not record what happened to the three. We do not know if the first one learned the course of following but still chose to commit to follow, if the second one chose to bury his father first, or if the third one chose to go home to say goodbye to his family. But we all know that all of them had two choices. Whatever the choice they would have made, one thing is certain. Jesus pressed on unchanged. We live in a society and culture that dictates the moral. You can do anything that you want to do. It declares that you are the owner of your life with full control. Exercising free will is good only when people choose right things. But people cannot read that message from "you can do anything that you want to do." If you remember some of the kids' program, and one thing I still remember is the Blue's Clues that my children watch a lot when they were little. And the song goes, "You can do anything that you wanna do." You know, I mean, that's the message that these kids get, and that's a sort of atmosphere that we all live in. But when they choose the wrong thing, they suffer from consequences of their choosing. Let me share a bad example of practicing free will. This article was run in the magazine called The Weeks on the issue of June 30th, 2006. In 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay climbed the 20,035-foot peak of Mount Everest. Thousands followed, thanks to Nepal's lifting its tight restrictions on climbing the legendary mountain. By 2006, more than 2,700 people had reached the summit of the world tallest mountain, many paying more than $60,000 for the experience. One result of this commercial influx has been the erosion of the traditional moral code of mountaineering. In the rush to the top, amateurs who had paid a fortune will do anything it takes to get to the summit, including abandoning other climbers. David Sharp became a casualty in March of 2006. The 34-year-old engineer from Cleveland managed to reach the summit on his own. However, he ran out of oxygen on the way back down. As he lay dying, 40 climbers passed him by. 40 of them passed him by, too eager to achieve their own goals to take a chance on offering their oxygen to someone else. David Sharp froze to death. Ed Vietstras, who has scaled 14 of the world 8,000 meters, that is 26,000 feet peak, says passing people are dying is not uncommon. Isn't it crazy? It's not uncommon. Unfortunately, there are those who say, it's not my problem. I spend all this money and I'm going to the summit. This attitude has produced disgust in many climbers, including Sir Edmund Hillary. On my expedition, there was no way you'd have left a man under a rock to die, he said. Can you imagine just passing by a dying person because you have some place to go? And you have spent a lot of money. But surprisingly, many apparently choose to do that. You know, their agenda comes first instead of something more important to take care of. Ultimately, every decision we make boils down to whether we are following Christ or serving our own interests. We all have an inherent nature to justify our thoughts and deed. Many a time, our reasoning seems very fitting, and we put our agenda rightfully before God's. Sometimes following God in our own way looks much better. The path that God suggests seems unreasonable to our eyes. So we hesitate, delay, or even ignore God's command. But the unchanged truth is God's way is always better and higher than ours. God is the one who runs our life, not us, whether or not we acknowledge it. Therefore, in the end, God's plan is accomplished no matter what we choose. If we choose not to follow Jesus, he chooses someone else to carry out his will. History always moves in the direction that God plans as the earth goes around the sun, always. For the sake of time and effort, it is always wise to trust him and humbly follow him. We all have said, to follow Jesus. But let us examine if we follow Jesus on the condition that satisfy our interest, just like those men ask. Let us ask ourselves, are we willing to follow Jesus in his way without adding any of our condition? We always should, because his way is always perfect and he wins always. Amen.
This is the time for our special music with Young, and we will, you can leave your offering in the plate at the back of the narthex, or please mail or bring that to our office to help support our church.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you have been so good to us, to each and every one of us. You have loved us. You have provided with what we have needed. And you have been so gracious and have forgiven our sins. For all that you have done, O Lord, we give you thanks, praise, honor, glory to your name. And we give you this offering of praise and thanksgiving unto you. Bless this offering, O Lord, that it may be used for the mission and ministry of your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please join us in our last hymn, Trust and Obey, 4, 6, 7, verses 1 through 3.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, glory He shed on our way. While we look His goodwill, He abides with us still, and we all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but a toil He thus richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but it's blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Let us pray. Lord, you have prepared a path that is the best and perfect for us to walk on. May we always trust in your guidance and humbly follow your lead. Because, Lord Jesus, we have experienced it over and over. For there is no better way than humbly following. So as we recommit ourselves to trust and obey, bless us, O Lord, and send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, stand. steadfast, strong, and true. Know he will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above.